we read from the Gospel of Mark. And this is where Jesus is denouncing the scribes, and he's also teaching about giving, especially the widow, as she brings her two pennies to the treasury. Let us listen to God's holy word. As he taught, he said, "Beware of the scribes, who like to walk around in long robes and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces, and to have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses, and for the sake of appearance say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." Jesus sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." Holy wisdom, holy word. Once again, I must apologize for my hacking a little bit. I'm just waiting for that first freeze to get all this over with. But if I should happen to start getting a little bit coughed up or choking up, please raise your hand, and then I'll ask somebody to read the rest of the sermon. The priest and theologian Martin Luther, and one of the leaders of the Reformation in the 1500s, once wrote, "I have tried to keep things in my hands and lost them all. But what I have given into God's hands, I still possess." Two golfers stepped up to the first tee on the St. Andrews course at Ardsley, New York, one of America's oldest courses. The elder one was a kindly man who played a thoughtful, deliberate game. The younger man was full of pride and impatience. On the first hole, he sliced, lost his ball in the tall grass, shot another one, and had a score of 8 instead of 4 or 5. On the second tee, he began to lecture the caddy. "Keep your eyes peeled. I'm not here to do your job for you." Thereafter, every bad shot was the caddy's fault. At the end of the first 9 holes, the young man was so enraged that he discharged the caddy and carried his own bag. "That caddy doesn't like me," he said to his companion, "and I'm sure I don't like him. He made me nervous. Thank God he's gone." After several holes had been played without a word, the older player broke the silence and said, "Several years ago, a little kid from Yonkers came up here and was taken on as a caddy. He was a wonderfully sweet-natured boy, quick-witted, willing, and had a nose for golf. Everybody liked him. His name was William, and William had a club foot. But that didn't affect his quality as a caddy. It was a pleasure to go out with him. A certain famous doctor, a member of the club, became interested in William and took him south on a long trip. When William returned, he went back to caddying. The doctor, however, had to give up golf shortly after that because of his health. He died a few months later. One morning, I was playing around with William carrying my bag. Spring was running riot all over Westchester County, and the fields and hedges were alive with blossoms. William gathered flowers until he had quite a bouquet. "Who's the girl, William?" I asked. "I haven't any girl, sir," he said sheepishly. "Therefore, my friend, the doctor, twice a week I take flowers to his grave." "You see," the man went on, "the doctor took him down south that winter and operated on his foot. He made the boy whole again, and William never forgot the doctor's act of kindness." "Now that's a caddy worth having," the younger man said. "Whatever happened to this William?" "He carried your bag today for the first 9 holes." Friends, we can sit back and listen to this story and witness the dynamics of the human heart. The illustration shows that William was grateful to a doctor who took him for a surgery and gave him the ability to walk. He was most appreciative, and he showed it by taking flowers to the doctor's grave twice a week. The young golfer proceeded to place blame for his sorry golfing on William and judged him terribly. The young man removed William from carrying his clubs in a rather unjust way. The elder golfer knew the story of William's surgery and was most touched for the way William shared flowers with the one who helped him to be healed. The golfer recognized the cheerful heart of William and the life he lived with gratitude. This morning's gospel lesson from Mark illustrates how Jesus recognized the plight of the poor as well as how they were unjustly treated by the religious scribes. This teaching moment gave the followers an opportunity to see the heart of giving. Jesus knew the scribes were all about show and about predatory practices on the poor, especially the widows. Their lives were about pride, privilege, greed, and injustice. The Lord warned the crowd where he was teaching to beware of the scribes who liked to walk around in long robes and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for the sake of appearance say long prayers. Well, one of the guiding scriptures for the scribes comes from Micah chapter 6 verse 8, where it says, "He has told you, O mortal, what is good and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God." Jesus recognized that the scribes did the opposite about faith and more about a heart that desired status and privilege. He knew their hearts and lives were further away from the teaching of God's word. Thus, he knew that they will receive the greater condemnation. Well, earlier in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus was approached by a scribe who asked him which was the leading commandment of them all. And Jesus answered, and we all know this one, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength." Now, as Jesus witnessed the giving of money to the treasury, he saw people from all walks of life and status. This giving of money was required of all the people who came to the synagogue. The Lord saw that many rich people put in large sums. They were giving from their abundance. Then a poor widow came and put in 2 small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Her giving was a sacrifice. He was so impressed by this act of sacrifice that he said to his disciples, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." Those that gave a lot would place their money in the chest and it would make more noise, while the two copper coins or mites did not call attention to themselves. One could say that she had her heart in the right place. As Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." A minister, Daniel Aiken, wrote in his sermon, "The widow's mite, the poor woman who gave all she had," about what Jesus sees in giving from the heart. He wrote, and I quote, "Jesus saw what he came to see. With piercing divine insight, he saw both a gift and the heart. He saw both the act and the motive behind the act. He knew those who gave only because others were watching, and he knew those who would have given if no one was watching. And with the judgment he is about to render, he once again turns the value system of the world upside down. Once again, we see a grand reversal of what really counts in the eyes of God." Unquote. My friends, God sees into our hearts, minds, and souls, what drives the desires within us. I believe God wants us to give of ourselves wholeheartedly to the love of God and the rearranging of our lives to give in a sacrificial manner. We can give of our time, talent, and treasure to the cause of Christ in the world to transform individuals into disciples. God is asking us to look deep into our hearts and to offer up what lies within. Bring it out, what lies within our hearts. God made the greatest sacrifice of all by sending his son Jesus to us in love. Jesus knew he had to make a sacrifice by giving up his life and dying on the cross for us, for each one of us. As the New Testament lesson from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 12 through 14 established, that the sacrifice of Christ for us is once and for all. And he said, "But when Christ had offered for all times a single sacrifice for all sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, and since then has been waiting until his enemies would be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering he has perfected for all times those who were sanctified in Jesus." My dear brothers and sisters, God is calling each of us to give out of our hearts with a life of gratitude and sacrifice. Yes, it is a challenge to give from the comforts of our abundance. And if we can move into the giving of our time, talents, and money, then the Christian endeavor of discipleship can flourish and remain viable in the world and in this congregation. So let us remember what Paul said, "For God loves a cheerful giver." May it be so for all of us as we continue to see how God's love is with us and how we give from our hearts, so that the Christian endeavor can continue into the future. And I close now with a prayer. It's an adapted prayer from the lordsprayerwords.com. It's a place where you can look up some prayers about not only Lord's Prayer, but also about Thanksgiving. This is an adaptation of one of those prayers. Let us pray. Dear God, we are so grateful for everything that you have given us. Thank you so much for the loved ones in our lives, for the many ways in which we are cared for and supported. Thank you for the many ways we can serve and give to others. Thank you for the rich tapestry of colors and creation, for the beauty which is all around us, for the skies and the evening and the ever-changing cloud formations, for the breathtaking sunsets and the early morning mists. Our hearts are so grateful and brimming with thanks. We could write 1,000 books about your great goodness and still have many stories to tell. We thank you from the bottom of our hearts. We thank you with everything we are. Our hearts and souls cry, thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. And let us all say, amen.